I want to just share with you something. I think it's cute. It's very scriptural. Years ago, when pastors in small communities would get into their cars and drive around in the afternoon, and if they saw that somebody was home, they'd just stop in and visit with them. There's always a pot of coffee on. And this is what this pastor was doing. He was out visiting, and he came to the home in the country there, and he saw the family car. He saw a truck in the driveway, so he stopped and went to the door, and he knocked. And he could just hear like a footsteps. He knew somebody was home, but they didn't answer. Knocked again, and nobody answered. Feeling a little miffed and rejected, he pulled his card, one of his church cards, out of his pocket and wrote on the back, Revelation 3:20. Behold, I stood at the door and knocked. If anyone had heard my voice and opened the door, I would have come in. I told you, very scriptural. He put it in the door and he left. That Sunday, he's spoken, preached a great word, and people were coming out the door, and he saw the lady of the house, from that house, coming in. And just before she shook his hand, she stepped out of line and pulled a piece of paper out of her purse. And she wrote, and she gave it to him, and she went by. And he looked at it, said, Genesis 3:10. I heard thy voice in the garden, but I was afraid, for I was naked, so I hid myself. I told you it was scriptural. I want to share with you this morning about Christmas aliens. And we're calling it Angels on Assignment. Many years ago, there was a book that hit the Christian circles called Angels on Assignment by Pastor Roland Buck from Boise, Idaho. And it sold millions of copies because we believed it was true what he was telling us. And he said over a period of weeks, late at night as he was studying, preparing especially for a Sunday message, he would notice his, I think it was a Great Dane that he had, his dog. And the dog would, his ears would go up, and he would, and Pastor Buck said, I knew something was happening. And he said, angels appeared to me. They were about 9 feet tall, strong, strapping people. And a whole book was written about it. I'm sure many of you read that book, but very interesting. What he shared and what the angels said to him. I remember going into a bookstore once and in Edmonton, that was, to talk about something to the man who ran the bookstore, and he said, I'm not into changing my theology because of angels. Well, that's true, right? But I just want to share a little bit with you this Christmas season about this. Did you know that the angels are mentioned 281 times in the Bible? That's quite significant. And most of it, of course, has to do with them appearing or getting involved in our lives. What interested me that in the book of Acts, the story of the beginning of the church, the story of the miraculous, the story of the visitation of the Holy Spirit, the establishing of the church. I don't like to call Acts the Acts of the Apostles. I like to call it the Acts of the Holy Spirit in the lives of the apostles. Power of God, healings, manifestations. And in that book of Acts, 21 times, angels intercede or work with people, manifest themselves. 21 times in the book of Acts. What was even more surprising to me was to find that the book that deals with the future, most of the book of Revelation is still into the future. It still has to happen. And in there we find angels are going to be involved a matter of 68 times in people's lives. And in the glorification of God and the slain Lamb, Jesus Christ. 68 times. So it's very, I think it's something that we need to look at. And I'm sure you've studied it. I'm sure you've looked at it. But in this 2 weeks before Christmas, I wanted to take a look at this. It is very, very unfortunate. And Wendy called me and said, where was that picture of a manly looking angel? Wendy, I'm sure you found out what I found out. If you go to Google search and type in images of angels, this is what you'll get. I needed one like this. Wendy, thank you for just he looks familiar. Doesn't that guy look familiar on your bulletin this morning? It is very unfortunate. On the far right-hand side, you have, I think, one of the most popular pictures of angels as guardian angels looking after little children. I just wish they didn't look. There's nothing in the Bible to indicate that angels look like that. Now, the one in the middle, that little one, isn't that cute? But that's not an angel. Hello? She may act like an angel, and she may love her if she's a grandchild, like an angel. But well, some people say, well, that's a cherub. There's no cherubs. The cherubim and the seraphim are angels that are surrounding the very throne of God. They're worshiping angels that did not leave with Lucifer. One-third of the worshiping angels left with Lucifer. But these cherubim and seraphim, they're the ones with the wings. Some of them have six wings. Read it right there, around the throne of God. But the cute little girl is not an angel. And, you know, it's so wrong to tell a family, well, if they lost a little one. I had to do a funeral for a three-year-old. And right before I spoke, they sang a song. God needed another angel in his choir in heaven. And so he took the little one home. I had to stand and say, I'm sorry, that's a nice song, but that's not the truth. The devil took the life of that little child. It wasn't God. Amen. God doesn't need angels in his heaven up there. He needs some worshipers, and you will have them eventually. But then the other ones we see there, they're pretty girls. But I don't need a pretty girl when I need help. Hello, I need a revelation of the power of God. So we're going to walk through this quickly this morning. What are angels? What are their places in our lives? In Hebrews chapter 1. Remember, the writer of Hebrews is dealing with the nation of Israel, the Hebrew people. And he's telling them that in Jesus Christ, everything is better. Everything. You read Hebrews and study the word better, and you see a tremendous revelation of God. And so the writer of Hebrews here, I think it's Paul. A lot of people don't think it is. But anyhow, he's setting this up in chapter 1. And then he says, to which of the angels did God ever say, sit thou here and I'll make thy enemies a footstool? He says, and then he says who the angels are. Here's what he says. Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation? And I capitalize those two words, ministering and minister, because they're two different words. Are they not ministering spirits? The word there is liturgical, public servants. Are they not all public servants? What do? They are sent forth, and their focus is to minister, and that's the word diaconia, from which we get our word deacon. When you have deacons in a church, they are there to serve the congregation, to serve the pastors. You find in 1 Timothy chapter 3, deacons. So here is what my understanding of this word that the writer of Hebrews gives in Hebrews 1:14. Are they not all spirits for public service, sent forth to serve those who are going to inherit salvation? Amen? Are they not all spirits for public service? And their focus is to serve those. And this going to inherit salvation doesn't mean that we're going to inherit it. It means that in the book of Hebrews, there are those who come into Christ. Those who become part of the family. Those who have their name written on the Lamb's book of life. They are there to serve those. That means us this morning. Amen. Can you get a hold of that? That the angels are given by God to serve us. Click, 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 click. Sometimes we don't click up here. We've got to click down here and hear it with our hearts. The angels are ministry servants to those who have a relationship with the Father. Now again, I went looking for a picture of an angel. Literally thousands and thousands and thousands of the kind that we showed you before. And you had to work really hard and look very hard to find the one that Wendy put on the bulletin and this other one here. Click on that for me there, would you? This here And I hope it's not too far away. I hope you can see it. This here is what I believe the archangel Michael looked like. It's what? I don't believe the wings. I don't believe nothing to indicate that he had wings. But you know, if you're going to paint a picture of an angel, you better put wings on him, or you're going to think he's out of Star Wars or something. Right? So they put wings on him, and they say, oh, that's an angel. That's a powerful angel. And that's what I want to place in your heart this morning, that you have angels that look like them, that who are on your side and are looking out after your good. Maybe that's why every time an angel appeared, they had to be told, don't be afraid. Don't die.
Yeah, yeah.
I honestly think if someday I woke up in the bottom of my bed, one of these was standing there, I'd probably think I'm going to pass out too. Right? Like, wow! That's powerful.
Yeah.
Get that into your heart, saints of God. Angels are your friends that are powerful. Okay, let's give some information. They were not born, they were created. They do not marry. They're referred to in the masculine in the same way I suppose God is referred to in the masculine. They can't reproduce. I honestly do not believe, and it's hard for us to grasp this, that angels are neither male nor female. They're created by God to serve. They serve around the throne. There were the worshiping angels under Lucifer. There were the messenger angels under Gabriel. And there were the warrior angels under Michael. One third left with Lucifer. And that's why in almost every church and every denomination, there has been at some point a problem with the worship in the church. Too loud, too quiet, too noisy, too stand too much. Because the enemy gets in there because he's always been a problem in the area of worship. They do not die. They had the ability to sin, but they had no right to sin. That's why they will not be restored. Now, a lot of people believe that, and I did for a long time, that demons are fallen angels. Came down to earth with Lucifer. But if you go with this verse, you'll have a hard time. Let's click that once for me there. Go ahead. In 2 Peter 2:4, Peter writes, under inspiration, led by the Holy Spirit to write this. He said, for if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment. That means at the great white throne judgment, they will be brought before God and be shown that in God's fairness, when they had the ability to sin, but they were never given the right to sin. The difference with us, we had the ability to sin and we were given the right to sin. But we were told, if you sin, you will die. The angels were never given that. Therefore, there is no restoration for the angels. And if we believe this verse, then the demons that we are part of a battle, that we wrestle not with flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, then these are not fallen angels. It's up to you. Many people believe they are. Now, the question I suppose I would like answered, and I have, is how many of these angels are there? Well, Revelation 5:11. John is getting this revelation of the future events, and this takes place pretty early after the rapture of the church. So we may actually see this with our eyes. There are many angels, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000. Mathematics, 100 million. Right there. And then, just in case you want to draw a line, he says, and thousands of thousands. That's a lot. Amen? That's a lot. 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands. See, every now and then we've got to sit down, and that's what meditation does for us. Sit down and think, Lord, you always have been. And the Hubble telescope is telling us that it goes on and on and on. We really can't put a number on anything that you create or anything that you do. We really can't do that, Lord. And so, I'm going to put this away here. Keep a noise in here. You know. So we have to, that's what meditation does. It helps us to see the greatness of our God. When he tells us that there are 10,000 times 10,000, 100 million angels and thousands of thousands. And they're crying out in this scene from Revelation. They're crying out with a loud voice. Can you imagine, folk, the noise? Hello? Can you imagine how loud that would be? And here is what they're saying. Here's their focus. With a loud voice, they're saying, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain." The Bible tells us he is the Lamb that was slain from the foundation of the world. Before God put a sun in the sky, before he put the stars or the moon, before he put one person on this earth, he knew that one day he would need a perfect lamb. And his son volunteered and said, "I will go. A body hast thou prepared me." Philippians 2. And he made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. The incarnation. And here is what their focus is. Their focus is on Jesus Christ. Let me tell you something. If you ever have an encounter with an angel, and that angel does not point to Jesus Christ and to his cross, I would have a second thought about listening to him. Amen. You hear what I'm saying? He will always glorify the Lord Jesus Christ and will always point to the cross and the finished work of Jesus Christ. And so they said, the "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing." We call that the sevenfold blessing of Jesus Christ. That's what he is. They honored him. They will honor him. In the book of Revelation, with this honoring, it shall come forth. "Worthy are you, Lord, who was slain to receive this." Now, I'd like to go back and just come forward quickly to the Christmas visitation. But I think we need to get a really good understanding. And in Genesis 28, verse 12, we come to a man called Jacob. 28 and verse 12. "And Jacob went out from Beersheba and went toward Haran." He just cheated his brother, by the way, Esau. He lied to his father, by the way, and said he was Esau when his name was Jacob. Like, this guy was in a lot of trouble. He just bottomed out. He come to the end of himself, and he was in rough shape. "And Jacob went out, but he came to a certain place and tarried there all night because the sun had gone down. And he took of the stones of that place, put them for his pillows, and lay down in that place to sleep. And he dreamed, and behold, a ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven, and behold, the angels of God ascending and descending on it." Why did God give Jacob, this man who was running from his presence, why did he give him this revelation of the stairway, the highway, if you want to call it, from his kingdom to earth, because of what he is going to say to Jacob right now? Listen to this. "And behold, the Lord stood above," at the top of that stairway, with all these angels coming and going. He says, "I am the Lord God of Abraham, thy father, the God of Isaac. The land wherein thou liest, to thee will I give it, unto thy seed. And thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth, and thou shalt spread abroad to the west, to the east, to the north, to the south. And in thee, and in thy seed, shall all the families of the earth be blessed. And behold, I am," watch the promises here now, folks, because they're ready for us too. "I am with you, and will keep you in all places to which you go, and will bring you again into this land, and I will not leave you until I have done," listen now, you've been hanging on to a promise, "until I have done that which I have spoken to you of. I will do it for you," he said. And then what that revelation of these angels coming and going is, I think it's simply this, saints. If you've got a word from God, if he's given you a word, if he's given the church a word, if he's given your family a word, If He's given our nation a word, He wants us to know He's backing up that word with those messengers who are there to serve us. An unlimited number. Unlimited number. Come on. I need you to grasp this, not just here, but to grasp it here too. This is what the Word says. If you're reading the newspaper, you can get it with the head. But when you're reading the Word, you've got to get it with your heart. God is saying to this man, Jacob, the cheater, He's saying, I'm going to make sure the promise I gave to Abraham, your grandfather, and to your father, Isaac, is going to be fulfilled in you. And look at what I have to back this with. You're not going to have to do it on your own. There'll be those who will serve you. And then this didn't happen. The name didn't happen until two chapters later. And this is what happens. And Jacob was left alone, and there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. And when the man saw that he could not prevail against Jacob, this man, I believe, was either Michael himself, or maybe it was a Christophany or a pre-appearing of Christ. And the man said, he touched the hollow of his thigh. And the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. He walked with a limp for the rest of his life. And he said, let me go, for the day breaks. And he said, there's Jacob. I will not let you go until you bless me. Here's a man who was desperate. You know, sometimes we say, Lord, this hit me last night, folks. But the enemy's trying to rob me. And Doreen, she's not here today. She was up till 1:30 this morning. But trying to rob us of peace. And the Lord showed me that if I'm going to get that peace, I can't just say, Lord, bless me. I need your peace. I've got to get to the place where I say, in Jesus' name. He said, I will not let you go. I will not let you go until you bless me. And the angel asked the same question that his father had asked a while before. What is your name? You've got to deal with this. What is your name? You've been a liar. You've been a cheater. What is your name? And he didn't say Esau, the firstborn. He said, I am Jacob. I'm Jacob, the cheater, the liar. That's all the angel needed to hear. He says, you're no longer Jacob, but I name you Israel. That's when it started. The nation of Israel is mentioned almost every day in the news. And that name started right here with a man who said, I'm not going to lie anymore. I'm going to be honest with God. I'm going to wrestle with Him until I get blessed by God. So you're now Israel, a prince with God. And everything that God has promised Abraham will come to pass. This man had 12 sons. Hello? 12 sons, the 12 tribes of Israel that still play a part in the future in the book of Revelation. Are you with me here? Okay, one more place I just want to read quickly before we go to. I've got it up there. Psalm 34, verses 1 to 8. Here's David. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear of it and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt His name together. I sought the Lord. Here it is. I sought the Lord and He heard me. And delivered me from all my fears. They looked upon Him and were radiant. Their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his trouble. And here is how He does it. This is the revelation David gets in verse 7. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about those who fear Him and delivereth them. And then he says, oh, taste and see. Come on. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Hallelujah. And everything He's promised you, He's capable of bringing it to pass. Not only in His great wisdom, not only in the power of the Holy Spirit, but through ministering spirits that He has released into this world and sends back and forth from His presence to touch your life and to touch my life. Hallelujah. I don't know about you, but that kind of gets me excited. Amen. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear Him. And He delivers them. He delivers us from all our problems. Now, He doesn't say when He'll do it. And sometimes we think God may be a little slow in some of these things. But He does come to that place where He delivers us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The angel
showed lonely Hagar a well of water. Angels fed Elijah with bread and water. Angel appeared to Joshua and Gideon before they went into a fierce battle. In the New Testament, an angel opened the prison doors and released the apostles, encouraging them to go and preach the gospel. An angel released Peter from prison the night before he was going to be put to death. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 18, verse 10, he says concerning little children, he said, "Their angels," and this is where that painting comes from, "do always behold the face of my Father which is in heaven." In other words, Jesus said, God watches over children through the ministry of angelic spirit. How appropriate then, how appropriate that we would have this ministry, this overwhelming revelation of the angelic beings. I've got to just put up the next slide there for me, Sarah, please. Because I wish I could put them all up, but they would be too small. I just want you to picture the what we call the Christmas happenings from the Word of God. Okay? It all started when the angel Gabriel appeared in the temple in Jerusalem and told Zacharias the priest about the birth of his son John the Baptist, the forerunner of Jesus. That was the first happening Christmas angel. Then again, the same Gabriel, top messenger from God's presence, was sent to Nazareth, a small little town, to a very insignificant and beautiful young lady named Mary, a virgin. And he tells her, "You're highly favored, and you're going to have a baby." And she says, "Hello." But she did say, we talked about it last Sunday, "Be it unto me according to your word." And that's when it happened. Next, the angel of the Lord appears to Joseph in a dream, a man who was having a lot of problems, a lot of questions. He's engaged to this young lady. He hasn't touched her. And she tells him she's pregnant. And he knows that's not his baby. Hello? I don't know about you guys, but I'd stay awake. But at least he fell asleep long enough one night for the angel of the Lord to appear to him and says, "It's okay, Joseph. This is of God." Hallelujah. You see, folks, listen. Tremendous amount of peace can come into a very disturbed heart when we have a visitation from an angel. I just want to throw this in here, though, in case I don't say it later on. You're not to go looking for angels. You're not to try talking to them, I don't believe. There's nothing in the Scripture. You're certainly not to pray for them. You don't order them around. That's his right to command. Amen? Colossians, Paul writes to Colossians and said, be careful of these who are telling you about this voluntary worship of angels. No, it's not. When they come, just be thankful. When they appear, be thankful. When they speak to your heart, whether in open-eyed vision or in dreams, just say, "Thank you, Lord." And just ask Him to make it so real. It was made real to these. Amen? It was so made real to them. That wonderful night, listen. "And there were in the same country shepherds, abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, an angel of the Lord came upon them. And the glory of the Lord shone round about them. And they were very much afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people." Hello? Wasn't just for the Jews. It was for all. Say the word "all" with me. All. I looked it up in the Greek. You know what that word means? All. Okay. It means all. "Which shall be to all people, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in the manger." And suddenly, I have my own theology on this, Pastor Ralph. I hope it doesn't go against what you've taught here for years. These angels knew. I mean, the word was in heaven. It's happening. It's happening. The long-awaited Messiah is going to be born in a little town called Bethlehem. One of us has gone, may have been Gabriel, one of us has gone to announce to some lowly shepherds, and they're all looking. And all the angels, 10,000 times 10,000, they're peeking over the balcony of heaven, and the balcony broke. And suddenly there was with the one angel a multitude of heavenly hosts. And they thought, we better do something. Could lose my papers with that kind of belief. But it just spilled out over the countryside. And here's what they said. Glory, glory to God in the highest. And I love this. Because that's where the enemy is attacking so many of us today. And on earth, peace. Peace. You asked our prime minister, who is in Africa this morning, or sometime today. You ask the president of the United States, what's the great need in the world today? And he'll say, peace. Peace. Goodwill toward men. Then an angel appeared to Joseph in a dream saying, take Jesus down to Egypt. And later on he appeared again and told him it's safe to go home now. And folks, when you see this magnanimous display of heavenly beings at the Christmas season, there's no wonder that I actually had a little angel. I got out of our Christmas box and I was going to bring it with me this morning and I forgot it to sit here. That's why a lot of our Christmas trees have an angel sitting on top of the tree. You do? The one out there for the tree? It's very real. It's very real. What an opportune time. If you have unsaved people coming to your house and they look at that and say, wow, what a nice angel. Well, would you like to hear about him? Would you like to hear about that angel? Would you like to hear why that angel is on the top of the tree? Let's go to the next one, please, Sarah. I want you to just get this in your head. I get it in my heart. I know this is Pastor Ralph's heart. He says, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repents. Because they're so interested in us. They have a real heart. They know the Father's heart for us. And I'm sure there are times when they say, God, why are you so interested in those creatures that all they want to do is rebel and sin? But they know the Father's heart for us. And this word tells us that there's joy in the presence of the angels of God. You know what I think our commitment to be? Let's encourage the angels to have a party every day. Let's take it as a personal responsibility to say, go for it, angels. Here's another one. Here's another one. Here's another one. But my conclusion is this. Angels are the loving friends of mankind and seem to be very concerned about and long after our happiness and joy. Can you accept that? Can you accept that? 261 times they're mentioned in Scripture. 261 times. I want to close with, I suppose the question could be asked, if there are this many angels, why don't we run into them more often? Do you know you've had run-ins with angels? The Bible says some have entertained strangers, and in entertaining strangers, they have entertained angels unaware. I have had over the years many, many share with me an angelic protection. One lady in our church she was visiting, I won't tell the story, but she had to go home late at night from a service, and the family had left her and gone home because she wanted to stay late. She got a cab, and she noticed the cab driver was taking a long time to get back to the hotel. And finally she said, where are you taking me? He took him into a wooded area, and he looked back at her with this demonic look on her face and got out of his side of the cab and was coming around to the back seat. And all of a sudden, a young man, she said he was huge, stood there and went like this to the driver and pointed back to the seat. He got into the front seat with the driver. They went to the hotel. Her name is Anne Connolly. I know her personally. Went back to the hotel, let her out. And when she told her husband what had happened, they, the three or four of them there at the hotel, they called the cab company.
They found the cab abandoned. They didn't know where the cab driver was. They left the next morning. We don't know what happened. But she has no doubt that she could have been raped and maybe even murdered that night. But there appeared this young man stood and got in the cab with her and went back to the hotel with her. Let me tell you something from my personal experience. When we lived in Calgary, there was a community not far from us, but it was on the other side of the CN tracks where they would build trains. You know, you ever seen a train a mile long and wonder who put that together? That's a lot of backing up and going down this track, backing up and clicking on here. And we had this one road that went to Dover. If the tracks were up, if the bars were up, it's just like a short drive. If the train tracks, what do you call that, the bars were down, it was a 15 to 20 minute drive around the tracks. And I've been there and I've seen taxi driver just absolutely frustrated and screaming at the trains because he didn't want to go around. But this one time I was all by myself and I pulled up at the track, bars were down, and I could see a train loading. It was back and forth, and I thought, okay, it'll go forward far enough so that it will come up. It'll go forward and then back up. And I thought, okay, and I waited. It went forward. I was waiting for it to come up. It didn't. It backed up again. There were two tracks. And I was waiting, and I thought, I don't want to drive all the way around. And something got into me. And I said, I'm going to go around the bar. I'm going to drive around. Illegal. Illegal. Don't do it. But sometimes you do stupid things because I think this is where the enemy will try. The enemy wants to destroy us. Steal, kill, and destroy. And folks, I looked in this direction and saw the train was back way down there. And I put it in gear and I went. And as soon as I went to go around that bar, it was like I heard a scream. No! And my steering wheel went like this. I did it, but I didn't do it. You understand what I'm saying? It went like this. And as I pulled it back, a day liner coming in from South Calgary, full speed, woo, and it blew its what trains have horns? Whistle. And the driver must have seen me, what I was planning on doing. He just hit that whistle. Folks, I want you to know this. If I had done what I was going to do, I would have died that day doing this. Stupid! I could have seen it right up in the paper the next day. Stupid pastor tries to go around train. I want you to know, I parked that car and sat there and trembled for a long, long time when I realized that was how close I came to dying. And over the years that I've thought back, times I've been fishing up in the Rockies and hunting and out on the coral reefs and in some tremendous dangerous water when I was a child. I'm thankful. I want to confess and say thanks to God for His angelic protection over my life over the years. And I think you would like to do that too. Maybe you have. Maybe you do it all the time. I don't know. But I just want to, my whole goal this morning is we have come closer and closer to Christmas. Here's what I want to challenge you to do. I want to give you a Christmas challenge. Do something so different this year. Do something so sacrificial. Do something so giving that it will get the attention of an angel. And he just may manifest and let you know he's with you. Amen. Wouldn't that be nice in the new year to have testimonies of God's revelation of his care for us through angelic beings? The last slide is this, and we go back to my strong man. Angel. Angels are God's gift to us. Ministering spirits whose job is to protect us and encourage us to always serve God with dedication and passion. Let's give them reason to party in heaven. Amen? Let's give them reason. Well, we're going to party right now. We're going to party right now. But let me ask you something. If you're here this morning and you're not in a right relationship with God, if you have never, can honestly say, I have never asked God to forgive me of my sins, I've never asked Him to put my name in the Lamb's Book of Life, I want you to know you can cause a party in heaven this morning. A big party. A rejoicing. The angels rejoice.
So I ask you this morning, are you saved? Are you right with God? I don't know what question, how to put it. I'm just putting it and saying, here's how I like to put it, because some people get offended at it, but it's the real truth. Do you know down in here, not up here, but do you know down here that if you died today, would you go to heaven? I think the Bible says His Spirit witnesses with our spirit that we are a child of God. So if that witness is not there this morning, boy, we could have a party. We're going to have a party here. We could have a party up there with the angels. Amen. Let's bow our heads as we close in prayer.